Tom, so we'll just catch up the rest of what you missed. No, Tom.
Okay. Where are we holding?
We are on Kaf Aleph, Amud Aleph, middle of the page, somewhere. What are we talking about? So we're talking about this Mishnah. Right, the Mishnah that started near the top of the page. We said, we're talking about how many wives a king is allowed to have. Three different opinions. Tanna Kamma, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Shimon. Tanna Kamma says, how many does Tanna Kamma say?
18.
18. Rav Yehuda says, no, learned it yesterday. No. As many as you want, even more than 18. No, he didn't exactly use those words.
No.
Tom, anyway, so that's also fun. There's an end. So what's the Tom? Lost my pen. Rabbi Huda says 18, nahon, but you're allowed more than 18 if, what's the condition?
They don't turn your heart away.
They don't turn your heart away. Even more than 18 is okay, so long as they don't turn your heart away.
Is
Rabbi Huda? They're looking for an anxious smile.
Huh?
Who said 18?
Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Shimon said, what did Rabbi Shimon say? He said, even one, Mazomer, he said up to 18 or less than 18, you still have to be careful that they don't turn your heart away. Rabbi Yehuda is different. Rabbi Yehuda said you're allowed 18, 18 is fine, no problem. After 18, you need to worry that they're going to turn your heart away. So you're allowed to have more depending on whether or not they're going to turn your heart away. After 18, but up to 18, you don't need to worry. Rabbi Shimon says no. Even before 18, you need to worry. Even one, you need to worry. So, okay.
What you need is an anxious hile. Just one. Right. Just
so
one anxious hile.
What Rabbi Shimon says,
yes,
it can be like the dinu, the good. Some things like what the guy from the church saying. He said, Sofek, if you can manage with one woman, she got at Levavcha.
Yeah.
And I the Christian says, don't marry the woman because she take your holiness, I don't know what.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see, Befa. Okay, interesting.
It's like, Bedakut.
It's interesting.
But
it's a good question. It's an even deeper question on not even to get to Nosrut, on Yiddishkeit, on Judaism, on Halakha. How can Rav Shimon say you shouldn't marry even one if she turns your heart away? But we've got a Halakha. We've got a Halakha that you need to get married.
אתה מחויב לזה,
So what can you say? So you've got a mechuyav to get married, but according to Rabbi Shimon, within that obligation to get married, you have to make sure that she's not going to turn your heart away. You're not allowed to marry anyone sour to fulfill your obligation. You have to be careful who you're marrying. That's for a king. And the question is, an ordinary man, kal v'chomer or not kal v'chomer? Would you say kal v'chomer here or not? No? No kal v'chomer here.
Why not? You still have to be careful.
Yeah, but is that kal v'chomer? What's a kal v'chomer? Lenient to a strict or strict to a lenient? Do we have that? King could be different. We might could say that a king has a different position and he needs to be careful because he's in a position of leadership and he needs to be worried that his heart doesn't get turned away. But Farmer Joe, so his heart gets turned away, so he's got a problem, but I'm not going to make a halakha about it.
Why
should king have many wives? Kavod for the king, many horses, many wives, much money.
Right, but in Pirkei Avot it says the more wives, the more witchcraft.
Uh-huh. But it also says here you're allowed up to 18. So the fact it says you're allowed up to 18 means that it doesn't have to say that. It could have said you're allowed one or two. Right, and it also says don't increase your horses too much. We're going to see that now in the sukkah. Right, that's also bad. if you increase your horses too much or increase your wealth too much, that can also turn you bad.
Isn't
but you are allowed to have horses and you are allowed to have wealth.
Right, but isn't there something in the Parsha saying you shouldn't go down to Egypt to get horses? I'm assuming because of the darkness and the dark start in Egypt.
And also the witchcraft in Egypt.
We're back to the witchcraft.
But presumably they all merge together and overlap it. You know, they all have stupid.
Why the number of 18
is David Amelech? Yeah, so the Gemara is going to ask that now.
But the question is, wouldn't it be appropriate how with Kal Vahomer? Because given the king should be on a higher standard.
Okay, therefore, go on. So to explain the Kal Vahomer.
The Kal Vahomer that we should at least be on a standard where we had to keep our eyes open when picking a bride.
More than a king. Your Kal Vahomer will have to say that we have, if it's going to work to take a law from something that you know, to take a law to something that you don't know, with a Kal Vahomer, you have to say, if it, the law is over here, then all the more so it should apply over here. So can you make that Kal Vahomer and say, I know the law of the king, and from the king I can learn to an individual, all the more so for an individual, no? The king is at a higher level, so it's not...
We shouldn't even be picking out one wife.
Because?
Because we need to have an Ashes file, like, as they say, a person like Abigail.
That's a Kal Vahomer?
Yeah.
Explain.
Then we need to find someone with the qualities.
Why as more so?
Because the king has advisors and could advise him on who to pick.
Okay.
Whereas we don't.
That's fair.
At so most we have our parents or a matchmaker.
Okay.
I mean, the king could investigate someone thoroughly, whereas we just have word of mouth from the person's friends or colleagues, which we really don't know.
If you want to step outside for a minute into a little bit of lomdus, you can learn from the laws of Makot that we learned that you don't make a Kal Vahomer in the case of punishments. You don't make a punishment. Yeah, I've got it. Very good. Yofi. Anyway, Tom, let's move on in the Gemara.
Wouldn't this be more appropriate as Guardian of Peace?
Yes. Awesome. Okay, so where are we? Where did we get to? So yesterday we were talking about whether or not we could learn from that Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda Darish the Pasuk and Rabbi Shimon doesn't. And we learned it the other way around. Anyway, that was yesterday's sugya. We should now go on. Hanei shmona esrei minala. So the Gemara now asks the question that Rabbi Eliezer asks us. These 18, where did they come from? Why 18? That we say kings allowed 18 wives. All three of them agree on the 18. Just a question of whether that's a maximum, a minimum, etc. No, he said 18 stam, without any criteria. 18 stam, no reason. You're allowed up to 18. It's a godly number. It's also a godly number. My Rav Elchanan Elgrod, 9. Any 9 is the Indian of Hashem, of a godly number.
Holy number?
A holy number.
When you multiply,
different numbers always come 9. So, Rabbi Ruben explained that when you
take
9, kaful, mashat alot teisha, kulam, even if it's very high numbers, you add the numbers together, they always come to 9. Always come to 9. Right? In the Peshut numbers it's easy. 6, 9, 7, whatever, 63, they always add to 9. Okay. 9, 9 is 81, 8 plus 1, they always add to 9. And even if you get to more, the like several digits, all the digits add up to 9.
It's not so. The king, when the other nation come, let's say the other king has to build it. So most time they keep to make a
match. We know that Shlomo married the Goyish wives and had loads and loads of wives. That's why we're learning it here in Shlomo, right? Not because he was interested in pick and mix, right? He was trying to conquer the entire world. We saw that he was ruler over the upper worlds and the lower worlds. How? By marrying the daughters of the kings of all the nations, he now became in control. He became de facto the king, the control of all those nations.
So it's not that the nation come, because they want the part of the feel the holiness.
And by giving their daughter to to Shlomo, they were submitting themselves. They were to the kingship of Shlomo. He was king over the entire world, right? Which is what the Goyim will do. Right? The time of Shlomo was kilu an aspect of the time of Mashiach. That when Am Yisrael, when the king of Am Yisrael is ruling the entire world, it's that wasn't in Mashiach, right? And you had built the holy temple, and right, almost that was the template. It's almost all finished. It would have been, and it's going to be the same again. The king, Moshiach, will be ruler of the entire world. Everyone will submit to him. And we'll have the Beit HaMikdash. And be the same thing, in some ways. Except he did it wrong. He did it the first way you do it, you fall. And then the second time you do it properly, right? Well, it's all the Indian of that we have to mess up in order to do it properly. A person can't keep halacha until they mess it up first. We have to fall and then rise. And only after you get up after a fall is when you really got it. So this was the fall. This was the template. We fail. Now we're going to do it. We're going to do it properly next time. Without Hashem this afternoon. Well, actually, tomorrow afternoon after I've moved. It'll be more easy. Yossi. Oh, no class tomorrow, by the way. I'm moving house.
No?
No class tomorrow. I'm moving house.
And you
Tomorrow I'm moving, so there's no class.
Tomorrow?
Yeah. Tomorrow I'm moving. And Wednesday I hope to be here.
You come here to live here?
Yeah. I shouldn't be late. After I've got no excuses on the after that, no excuses on the bus.
The train,
the bus.
In the club, you're able to
talk.
How far are you?
No, you know her and the VM? Just the other side. Tov. Okay. Back to the Gemara. We're on 21A. Kaf Aleph, Amud Aleph, 21A. So the Gemara is asking you, where did this 18 come from? Why 18 wives?
Where?
Where? 21A, 2? Second column. So we have an answer. Where do we learn this from? Dichtiv. We learn it in Shmuel. We learn it from King David. Right? The source of all kingship. King David. King David and Shlomo, they're the two places to learn about how to be a king. Dichtiv, v'yivaldu l'David banim b'chevron. There were born to David children, sons, in Chevron. Right? When was that? Before David came to the throne in Yerushalayim, we said that for 2 years he was king in Chevron. Why? Because Shaul's son, who took over the throne? What was the name of Shaul's son that took over the throne? Shaul's son, his son that took over after Shaul before King David took. 2 years before King David ruled, there was another king, it was the son of King Shaul. We learnt it in about a week ago, less maybe. Chazara. Give you a clue, two words. Two words. Ish. Ish something.
Ish for.
Clear, close. Ish. Ish. Come on, this is embarrassing. That's a clue. It's embarrassing that you don't know.
Ashwan.
Ish Boshet. Yofi, Ish Boshet.
He was the son of Shaul.
Was the son of Shaul. Ish Boshet. The son of Shaul. He reigned for 2 years, right? And during that 2 years, David stayed in Hebron.
Why he had so nice name, Ish Boshet?
That's what they called him. Probably because it was embarrassing that he reigned, because really, the kingship should have gone to David. It was embarrassing. It's embarrassing for him. Because the kingship should have gone to David. David should have been king after Shaul.
Okay, but he did have done something that he had so great name Ish-Boshet.
Yeah, he didn't give the kingship up. he should have said, he should have stepped aside and said, David Amelech, Bakasha. So he was there for 2 years, then he died, obviously. It wasn't a good plan.
Well, not only that, but there was a civil war going on.
Maybe.
I mean, don't know. Someone died.
The general.
The general died.
Ishbosheth and Mephibosheth is two different guys?
Two different guys, yeah. Mephibosheth was an advisor of David. Ishbosheth was son of Shaul. Okay. Top. Anyway, so he was in, so while David was in Hebron, there were children born to him. Right? The passage says, Vayehi Bechoro, and his firstborn was Amnon, Lachinoam, who was born to Achinoam, Hayizraelit, the Yisraelite, the tribe of Israel, I don't know what Israelite is, or the place of Israel. Okay, that was his first child was Amnon. U Mishnehu Kilav, and his second was Kilav, La Abigail, who was born to Abigail, Eshet Naval, a Carmeli, right? The wife of Naval a Carmeli, but she was until she married him, right? Hashlishi Avshalom, third one was Avshalom, Ben Ma'acha, born to Ma'acha. Huh? 21A2. Second column. Okay, Rabbi, the fourth. Adonia, Ben Chagit, the son of Chagit. Chavishi, Shephataya, Ben Avital, was Shephataya, the son of Avital. Hashishi, the sixth. Yitram, Le'egla, who was born to Egla, Eshet David, the wife of David. So Egla is called Eshet David. We'll see why, but she gets a special title. Ele Yodu le David beHebron. These are the ones that were born to David in Hebron. So we see that David had six children in Hebron, six wives and six children. The essence here is not the children, the essence here we're learning from the wives. Six wives he had in Hebron. Nahon, who were the six wives? There was Achinoam, Abigail, Ma'acha, Chagit, Avital, and Egla. Yofi. So we're going to see in a minute. They're going to go up and say, well, what about Michal? Very good. Glad to see you're listening. Thank you. Vekamale Navi. And the Navi said about this later, the Ka'aman, like this was later said about, said by the Navi, Imma'at Osifa Lacha. If this was a little thing, Osifa Lacha, I would add for you. Kehena ukehena, like this and like this again. Kehena shit, that shit is six, shesh, the tap goes over shesh. Shis, shesh. Ukehena shish, and another six again. Tahavu lehu tamne sare, which would make a total of 18. So the Navi says you had six, but you can have kehena kehena. You can have the same again and the same again. So we learn from that, what's he coming to tell you? That just like you had six wives, you could have another couple, shayim, couple, shalosh. You can have 18. The same again, twice. So that's where we get 18 from. That's where we get a permissible 18. He didn't have 18, he only had six. But the Navi told him, you can have the same again, twice. You can have 18 altogether if you wanted. Okay, so that's the initial opinion of the Tanakhama. We're going to get an argument now. Matkifna Ravina, but Ravina argues on this. Ema, why not say, Kehena Tresare. Kehena, the first Kehena, that makes 12. The Kehena Esrim Alba, and then you say the same again, so that's 24. Why not go that way? Kehena the Kehena, you could do. Also works mathematically. Same again, that's 12. Same again, that's 24. Say you can have 24 wives. Yeah? Follow that? That's good for you? Rabbi Yaakov?
Mathematics? 24 wives.
Don't have to worry about it. Don't really think about 24 hours. Okay. Tanya Namihaki, it's also been taught in a writer like that. Lo yiber lo nashim. What does it mean, lo yiber lo nashim? That the king shouldn't take too many wives. Your teme is surim ba'alba. Not more than 24. So we see there's a writer that goes with that opinion. That actually is 24. Our Mishnah goes with 18. But we have a writer that says, just like that opinion, not 24. Lama, and the Gemara's not finished. Laman de darish vav. And according to the one who expounds a vav, right? We have in this kehena v'kehena, right? So the vav adds another kaful, another time. Because the one who expounds vavs also has kehena v'kehena. So he says, does it need to have a vav? It could have said kehena kehena, again and again. Kehena v'kehena. So why do you need the vav? You could have said kehena kehena, according to this opinion. So why do you say v'kehena? And the v you expound as another one. V and again. So according to him, alba'im v'shmona havu, he's got another time. He's got three times your... So for him, 6 to 12 to 24 to 48. 48 wives. Tanya Nami Hachi, we've also got a writer that follows that opinion. Lo yibar lo nashim. You shouldn't increase for yourselves wives. Your ten me alba'im v'shmon. Not more than 48. So there we go. If you're a king, you've got a writer. Mishnah doesn't follow that. The Mishnah that we chose to go with the Mishnah that said 18. But we have writer that go with both 24 and 48. You have who to rely on if you want to go for 48. Considering it. Oh, a lot of birthdays to remember, a lot of flowers to get, a lot of trips to the super to get everybody what they need. Got the challah, got the run out of olive oil, whatever it is. It's going to be very busy. So, Batana Didan, my Tana. So the Gemara wants to know, if we have all of these braitot which say that you can expound kehena v'kehena in these different ways, and they all teach that they're apparently valid explanations, right? There doesn't seem to be any reason why one is necessarily more correct than the other. Kehena, v'kehena, kehena is double, kehena just means another time. So the Gemara wants to know, Tana Didan, my Tava, what's the reason why our Tana in our Mishnah chose his version? So we have an answer to that. About Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana answers that question. He says, Makish kehena, Bantra la kehena kam. He makes a makish. What's a makish? A hekesh. A juxtaposition. He compares the two. Just like our kehena, so too the second kehena. The second kehena, the batra, is like the kama. Bava batra, bava kama. Right? The first one, the last one. Batra is the last. So the last kehena is like the first kehena. Ma kehena kama shet. Just like the first one is six. Kehena batrashes, so too is the second one six. Right? So what's he saying? Because there were two other opinions, Nachon, that the Tana could have gone by. One opinion is to say the Kehena is to just keep doubling it. Kehena means, and the same again means. What does the same again mean? Same again means double whatever you are holding at, just double it. Right, and that's how you get from 6 to 12 to 24. So the reason why I don't double it, like kahena just means the same again, and then the same again, wherever you were holding, you do the same again. So the reason why I don't hold that way is because I hold the two kahenas, you juxtaposition, the first one is the same as the second one. Just like the first one was only talking about 6, right? Six, and the same again. So it's talking about six. So the last one, two, the reason the Torah uses, the Tanakh uses the word kahena again, is to tell me a hekesh, just like the first one was six, so the last one is also six. So don't go doubling the last number you came to. Just add another six. Each kahena is another six. Also, too, you could say the reason he doesn't hold with the vav is that the vav is part of the kahena. The first kahena is like the last kahena. We're only talking six. Kahena the kahena. The second kahena is not double. It's just one. It's one group of six. Tov. Then the Gemara has a question the Rabbi Yoel asks. He's now leaving. Chabal. But now the question Rabbi Yoel asks. V'ha have Michal. Wait a minute. When did Michal? Did David marry Michal? That was his main wife. We know about. She's all over scripture. Well, that and Bathsheba. I bet initially, the first wife that he married after, from David, right? David's daughter that he married when he slew Goliath, was meant to be Michal. So that was so. Where is she in this? Surely she should have been in that first six.
Well, we covered that earlier with the
yes.
Price of the ketubah, which was 100 dead Palestinians.
Very nice. Well, they're foreskins.
Well, you normally don't go up to a Palestinian and ask him for his...
Right.
So you had to...
You could say there's not something. Right. So anyway, so... We learned that the Gemara held, the Gemara, it doesn't matter what Shaul held. Shaul might have held that he wasn't married to her, but it's irrelevant what Shaul thought, because Shaul's wrong. Right, we know the Gemara holds that he was married, they were married. So the Gemara is going to follow the halakha. The Gemara is going to follow, so it should mention it. It can't say, well, we're going by Shaul's view that he wasn't married to her. It's not an answer. But the Gemara knows that they were married, that was his wife. So the Gemara has to deal with, wait a minute, she needs to be in that list from Hebron, because she was married from the day one. She was when he came originally. Right? He was only king in Hebron after Shaul died, and he assumed the kingship in Hebron. So what happened to Michal? Amar Rav, Egla zu Michal. Egla is actually Michal. There was no wife called Egla. What's Egla? What is an Egla? A calf. So he wasn't really married to a calf. That was, we're going to see, that was the nickname. He just called her his calf.
Who is his calf?
Yes.
Because she was eating against
the meat? No, because she was much beloved. Like a calf is beloved.
Who is a
calf? Calf? Egla, like a Egel Hazahal, Egel. Egel, Egla. Egla Arufa. Egla Arufa. The captain, Egla Arufa. Egla. Egel. Egel, Egla. Egel Hazahal. Right? Egel crops up a lot. And Egla Arufa. Egla is comes up a few times. Yeah. Also,
we're going to ask that question.
Can I share that with you? As mafia action.
So the master can I
ask? Okay. He's going to ask how can it be? Okay. So also we see when the prophet Natan Hanavi came to David, right, and gave him the mashal. What was the mashal he gave him? Remember the mashal that Natan Hanavi? The kibsah. The beloved calf of this man, and he took it. Right, the calf was a beloved calf. It's his wife. Right, the mashal is also right. There's a lot of. I'm sure there's a whole. One can think about that. Take it, what it does. Think about how these all fit together. All the calves, all the what they mean. Oh, very interesting, all this stuff. Like the, yes, last week's parasha with the Nachash and the snake, and the fact that the snake is the one that bites, the snake is the one that cures, and they put the snake on the staff, and now the snake is a sign of medicine. Right, all the doctors, they have the snake on their stick. It's all the deep, deep ideas going on. All kind of
in the very snake, it's some side of the
yeah, it's all very interesting. Anyway, Tom, let's talk about Egla. So Egla zu Michal. V'lama nekra shma Egla. So why do they call her Egla? Her name was Michal. She chaviva alav ke Egla, because she was beloved to him like a calf. What does that mean? It means he left her in the stable and gave her some water to drink. No, it doesn't mean that. I mean, he was beloved like, I don't know what it means beloved like a calf. For me, a calf is not beloved. But
I have some feeling that
beloved like a calf.
I have
there's something deeper than that, maybe. I don't know.
I have some feeling that it's a feminism organization.
If you go home and you call your wife my calf, my little sheep, I don't know, maybe she's going to like it. I don't know. Maybe. Call her. I don't know.
Well, how about deer?
Deer. Deer. There we go. So Rabbi Yaakov's already in the, he's already got the deer. He's got that, right? So in the animal analogies. Right? I know some people might have my little viper. Right? Or different animal analogies that everyone has for their wife, depending on what your wife is like. So,
I mean, isn't Zivia a deer?
Isn't what?
Zivia.
Zivia? Siv, what is it, Sivia? Acid or Hebrew speaker? Svi? Sivia? Is there also Lashon? Svi? Sivia? Yeah? Svi is a deer. Yafe? So Sivia. That's a very good name. Ula, I think. There's a word, there's a.
Maybe. And it's Svi?
Yeah?
And maybe it's Svia. Also, there is a name.
Svia.
Sivia.
It's different than Svia. Tom, it's close enough that you're allowed to use it. That's deer. Very nice. Okay. I like that. Very good. Egla. So Egla's a calf. Right. How do we know that a calf is a beloved animal? So we've got a proof from Pasukim. Proof from, wherever this is, 24. Shoftim. V'chenu omer, like it says in Shoftim, lulei charashtem be'eglati.
This is the story which you've shown.
Yes. Nachon. So what's the story of Yisrael? So the pasuk here says, "Lulei charashta beglati." Had you not plowed with my calf, what's he getting at? So here, very, the whole story of Shimshon is very weird. Tom, but and now's not the time to go into it because probably can't tell you anything about it myself anyway. But I'd like to. But what happened over here is the Pilishtim. The whole story with Delilah and Shimshon is all very weird. And it's all very deep, and it's all trying to tell us different things because the pshat is very just a weird story, though. Anyway, so what before they captured him and they tied him in ropes and all that stuff and cut his hair, right, before all that nonsense, right? There was other stuff going on. That Shimshon would challenge the Pilishtim with riddles that they couldn't answer. They didn't like that. Right? Because they don't like to look bad, like we don't know the answer to your questions, that you're the smart guy. So they felt so they would get Delilah to ask him the answer. Right? So, one time he asked...
Now, wasn't she Pushtim, meaning not Jewish?
What? Wasn't what?
Wasn't she not Jewish? Then she was Pushtim.
She was, but usually... Chazal say that our Sadiqim, for which Shimshon was for sure Sadiq, wouldn't marry any non-Jewish wife without converting her. So for sure she converted. The Sadiqim, they're not going to do that. They are for sure going to convert. Well, the conversion process is a lot different then than now. Now it's 2 years and if you're lucky and you've got to get the right bait in. And there it's like, you want to marry, you convert. Right, it's like you take it on. Right, they had proper will and desire. We're like, takes 2 years to show the fact you're actually serious about something. In the old days, if you're serious about something, you say, yeah, My word is my bond. My word is my oath. You don't need anything else. If I say I'm doing it, I'm doing it. That's it. You don't need 2 years to prove the fact that you actually accept it and you take it and all that stuff.
And then even after that, it may take you another 2 years to get the paperwork done.
So if you want to marry, he says, do you hereby agree to hold by the bigger jury? She says, yes, that's it. That's a finished deal. She said, yes. That's like, their word is their bond. That was it.
The Muslims do now. You just need to come out of your Muslim.
Right, so...
Right. Yes, just put on this vest and walk down the local Jewish mall.
Right, but we can't do that now. Now we're trying to get to the same idea, which is that trying to get to someone who has a yeshuvda, a solid, honest opinion that they've thought about, considered, and they hold by it, and they're holding firm. It takes 2 years now to get to the same point. It's the same point
maybe
that they got in 5 minutes.
Maybe because the old days. Wasn't Maccabi Tel Aviv that the players from the NBA wanted to speak to, wanted to play with Maccabi Tel Aviv, so therefore today you have the Gerut in the Gerut. And those days, wasn't Maccabi Tel Aviv that wanted to.
Maybe they realize that.
The dogs.
Yeah. That they play better if they have a Shem.
You know, Conrad Popov, they were German too, a famous statue. So his wife goes to America and then comes from France. I don't know.
Yeah,
the weeks in a while.
Yeah.
When you have money, you have everything.
Yeah, you can buy anything. You can buy this, unfortunately, in this day and age, you can buy anything. You just need to have
money.
The money and find the right place. But yeah, Hashem allows it, right? Hashem doesn't have to allow it. Hashem is allowing it to happen for whatever reason Hashem is allowing it. Right? Hashem doesn't have to allow this situation. But Tom, that's what we have.
This situation too.
Huh? I heard very nicely on a tape this morning from I tried to tell you snippets from Rav Ofer Erez, right? Because they're just like very, 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 very nice. He says, Kabbalistically, everything was decided. Everything, all the tests that you're going through in life, your ups and downs, every single test was decided before the creation of the world. Before the creation of the world, Reuben Gidon's test that you're going to have today, that you're having now and then this morning, all decided.
My test was to come.
Everything, everything's decided. Everything was decided by Hashem before even. So what's our free choice? Free choice is only how we react, whether we accept or we don't accept it. That's our free choice.
See, this is true. I want to come today, and then you get a phone call from Avon, this rabbi in town.
Yeah.
His parents. Oh, he lived close to my place, so he was in my care. So he called me, can I go with you to the Shiva?
Ah.
So I have to go.
Shem wanted to hear. Nice. Okay, Tom. So let's go back to the car. Okay, so what happened with the Plishtim? So he's saying that Shimshon posed them a riddle which they couldn't answer. So what did they do? They went to Delilah. Delilah, is that in Hebrew? Delilah. Right, try and use the Hebrew words because they're real, not the made up English stuff. Right, Delilah, right? Also, Delilah from the word night, Hosha, darkness.
Also, it has a meaning in the Shulah Kodesh.
Yeah.
Delilah.
Thin. Like that.
Thin.
Like that. So, right, he was also trying to save the world. Shimshon could have been Mashiach. Shimshon like Hebrew. Oh, anyway, so what happened? So they got Delilah to reveal the answer. So in this pasuk, Shimshon is saying to the Plishtim, the only reason you got the answer is because you asked my wife. You got it out of her. So he says, had you not plowed with my calf, you would never have. Whatever, so you would never have got the answer, you would never have got the fruit, right? Because you plowed with my calf. My calf is an analogy for my wife, my beloved wife, right?
Well, something about Moses, because he was speaking with the Plishtim that if they know, he will give them, I think, 10 suits or something, and therefore, after that, she told them that the secret, he had to give them
Okay. truth is, if we knew Tanakh very well, everything that happened in Tanakh is everything that's happening now. Right? The template for the world, for this exile, this is all, like we just said before, that Shlomo is the template for Moshiach, and David and the kingship, and everything that happened is happening right now. Plishtim, everything that's going right. If you know Tanakh well enough, you know what's going on. It's all just playing out again. Just don't know Tanakh, we don't learn Tanakh, we learn Tanakh. Right? Top.
It's a big question if the Plishtim is
Palestinian.
Very big question.
Very big question, but it's also a very little question.
Well, the basic.
It's not such a hard question. There was a group of people. There was a group of people who lived in the land who weren't part of Am Yisrael, who caused a lot of problems, and they were called Plishtim. It's not such a. It's a huge sechel to make a comparison. I don't know.
Well,
maybe you could say it's a similarity to Mashal.
You know, you think that Shimshon has a Palestinian woman.
No, the root for...
So we're in bed with the Palestinians? That's not such a... It's not such a far-fetched idea.
But the root is invader for English. I mean, you can't get a better word than that for those over there.
It's not coincidence. Tov.
By the way, all this Palestinian,
yeah,
it's a fake. Because Palestine in English it's Israel. Don't the man used to say, "I'm Palestinians."
Palestine is Israel. I know, but it's not coincidence that we happen to call Palestinians Palestinian and Palestinian Palestinian. It's not a. Oh look, that's interesting.
Because she lived here before 1948, so it was Palestinian.
Yeah, but however it came to be is how it came to be. The fact that it is.
Yaakov lived here before 1948.
And
he had
a Palestinian. We let him into the yeshiva. So anyway, let's move on.
I mean, so we're the original Palestinians. They were the Arabs.
Huh? By the way, these people were in the yeshiva here. Across the yeshiva here, it was Jordan. So Israel took that whole land, Jerusalem, Iraqika, from Jordan.
Yeah.
But first, now we have to give it to Palestinians.
They're Jordanians. Most of the Palestinians are Jordanians.
All their grandfathers and great grandfathers are all Jordanian, Syrian. None of them doesn't make any sense.
They're either Egyptian or Syrian.
That's why Shem.
Of course, Jordanian is their logic. They know what we're talking about. Doesn't let them see with their logic.
And Hashem created a nation called Palestinians for our benefit. They didn't exist, the creation of Hashem, for our benefit. And if we learned Tanakh, we'd see what was going on. And we'd understand what the message is Hashem was trying to tell us.
They don't exist.
Huh?
It's like Hashem says, you don't even exist. They don't either exist.
But
just an imagination.
Too. But on a different level, they're created to teach us something.
Also, there's studies done that there's a huge portion of them that are actually Jewish blood. So, because of the thousands of women that are living in the land.
It's outpaid from
the Jews. Some say this, most of them are just Arab brought up today. The same. The Jewish blood, if you look into it, there's a lot. Abraham Weiss, he works with that. He knows.
Yeah.
Works with fundraising for the women that are trapped in the Berlin. And there's a guy named Anthony Yemi, you heard of Katsoni?
Yeah, I've heard the stories that he
so his wife wrote a book. He taught in the Beit Lashan and teaches girls in the Beit Lashan.
Yeah, they have a film that they show the.
So basically, womanizing. What does that mean? How do men womanize women?
One of the guys that sent the youth people, he gave them like a basement club with the Adinsha Kulta Bai.
Yeah, they have Yerushalayim
on Iraq in
Yafo.
In Yafo.
By the OU. The OU gave the building. Basically, that's one is the hangout for
them. And also sent girls to go to the Arabs.
Save a lot.
Said girls, teenagers.
Yeah, they go to pull them out.
Yeah, you gotta
take him out.
He teaches them in Lashon. That's what gives a share weekly in the OU.
Yofi, Tom, let's go to them today. Good place to start. Tomorrow we're going to ask you a question, so if you want to have the answer, I won't be here actually. Wednesday, believe me, we're going to ask a question about Michal and Ahav Tshuva.
About what?